CGTV.
Is God conciliated to the world or isn't he? Did Jesus Christ save the world or didn't he? Is there a new humanity existent now or isn't there? Did God indeed justify the entire human race? Why isn't everyone reveling in the truth of justification? Good morning. This is Martin Zender from Fort Lauderdale. In my laundry room, some very important considerations today, because if any or all of these things I just mentioned are true, which they are, then why is God about to be judging the earth? And why the need for his wrath? My quick answer would be because this is the way God wants it. It pleases God to bring some people into these truths that I just mentioned, conciliation, salvation, justification, the new humanity, by faith. Bring them in by faith. It takes special effort of God to give people the faith to believe these astounding, beautiful, gorgeous truths. God likes having intimates. He likes bringing certain people into his inner circle and telling them things ahead of time. This is the exception. If this is the exception, then what is the standard operating procedure? The standard operating procedure, I would say, is judgment. That God brings judgment to, yes, I think we can say this, force people directly to see the truth. It's like taking a dog by the back of his neck and putting his nose in his own poop. Like, don't do this. Don't do this. Right? Here, look, smell that. You smell that? We don't want you to do that again. The dog gets it. The majority of humanity have not, will not, and have not come to truth via faith. Faith is rare, and God wants to keep it that way. At the Great White Throne, after the fourth eon and before the fifth eon, does anyone come to the truth of God by faith? No. How do they come? By sight. They're standing before the majesty of God. We believe in God. Sure you do. Everybody does then, because there he is right in front of you. The earth has disappeared from under your feet. You have recently been resurrected from centuries or even millennia of death, and here you stand, and it's like, yep, there's a God, all right. Yes, there is. Now you know. Okay, that is not faith. Faith, again, is the exception. It's special. I think of Romans 3:21. God talks about Paul. God talks about it through Paul. Justification. The justification of the race is for all, but it's on all who are believing. And that is a quote, because I've studied this verse many times. The faith that acquaints one with righteousness, the righteousness that comes via faith, is for all, but it's on all. At present, it's only on all who are believing. God wants it this way. It's for all. This is the thing. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He did it for the whole world, did he not? Yes. I told you yesterday that there was a sense in which we were saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. In the sense that we were saved at the cross 2,000 years ago, by the same sense, the world was saved at the cross 2,000 years ago. If that's the case, then the world was justified at the cross 2,000 years ago. Only then could we say this from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 14. I'm going to tell you soon, if I have time today, I might have to say this till Monday, how judgment is going to effectively bring the rest of the world to the truths that we now enjoy. The Great White Throne, what is it? It's a judgment. What will it do? It will bring billions of people into the truth that we now enjoy. The Tribulation, what will it do? It's basically a dress rehearsal for the Great White Throne Judgment. It'll do the same thing that the Great White Throne Judgment does. It will bring many people to understand that, I guess, our way sucks. Yeah. Yeah. You and I know that now. God has graciously given us that information. We have no confidence in flesh. The rest of the world haven't gotten that memo. They still have confidence in flesh, especially religious people. They don't know that yet. Why? Because God has not given them faith. As Jesus said to his disciples, to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, yet to those, it has not been given. Okay, if Jesus Christ did not die for the sins of the world, how can we possibly say this? 2 Corinthians 5, starting with verse 14. For the love of Christ is constraining us, judging this, that if one died for the sake of all, consequently all died. Jesus Christ, one died for the sake of all. This is all humanity. Consequently, all died. And there's a verse in Romans chapter 6, I'll put it on the screen, that he who dies has been justified from sin. This agrees with Romans 3:21, that the justification is for all, but it's only on all who are believing. You get the distinction there, right? It's for all. And it's only on all who are believing. What does it mean? What do you mean on all? That is, it has come to the awareness. That's on. It has come to the realization. The people who on whom justification, righteousness is, have a realization of it. They have an understanding of it. They have a practical enjoyment of it. In that sense, it's on them. They're glowing. They're happy about it. The people it's not on, it's only for them. It's eventually going to be on them by a different means, judgment instead of faith. It's going to be on them someday. But again, the avenue is judgment, not faith. These are the two avenues, really, that God uses. And I said, it's up to God. And I said, God, it pleases God to do it this way. When we think of judgment, we always think of God being mean, God being aggressively angry, but this is not the case. Judgment brings things to rights. Judgment brings people to an understanding. Judgment slaps people upside the head. Sometimes that's what it takes. Slaps them upside the head and says, you see how it is? Putting their nose in their little self. You see how it is? Smell that. Smell yourself. Smell yourself. Yeah. No. Bad. Bad, bad, bad. That's what the Great White Throne is. That's what's going to happen there. Smell it. Smell it. How do you like that? You don't like it? Okay. God loves to employ gentler means for us. And we can thank him for that. But again, it's the exception. So back to 2 Corinthians 5. For the love of Christ is constraining us, judging this. If one died for the sake of all, consequently all died. Verse 15. And he died for the sake of all, that those who are living... Those who are living, that's kind of the equivalent of on those who are believing, that those who are living should by no means still be living to themselves. But the people who don't have this information, and that is what, that's the difference here, having the information and not having the information is out there. The information applies. Some people have it, some people don't. The ones who do have it should not by any means still be living to themselves, but to the one dying and being roused for their sakes. Verse 16, I'm in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, so that we from now on are acquainted with no one according to flesh. Yet even if we have known Christ according to flesh, nevertheless now we know him so no longer. So that if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation, the primitive passed by. Does this mean that if anyone is in Christ, there is not a new creation? Is there a new creation or isn't there a new creation? There's a new creation for them. It's on them. They have a realization of it and a recognition of it. And so only for them does it have any practical application. Paul says, yet all is of God who conciliates us to himself through Christ and is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation. Conciliation is making peace. It's a one-way peace, conciliation. This is katalasso in the Greek. Apokatalasso is reconciliation. It's two-sided. I could be conciliated to you, that is, I'm at peace with you, but you're not at peace with me, let's just say, theoretically. If you become at peace with me, then we have a reconciliation. It's two parties. But this is completely now one-sided from God's point of view. And we are the ones heralding this, that God has conciliated the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them and placing in us the word of the conciliation. That is the saying, the speaking of this conciliation is our privilege to do. And this is what we tell people. This is equivalent to me telling you in Canton, you have eternal life. You have eternal life. You have eternal life. And then saying, you know, get away from me. You have eternal life. Shut up. You have eternal life. Leave me alone. I'm proclaiming an objective truth that does not depend on your reception of it. The conciliation of the world to God wrought by Jesus Christ at the cross does not depend on anyone's reception of it. It's true, whether they believe it or not. Because we're talking about conciliation. You see, in the standard translations, this makes no sense. They don't make any distinction between katalasso and apokatalasso. The King James and other translations, they'll translate both words, even though they're different words. One has a prefix. They'll translate them both reconciliation. But we miss this beautiful truth. It's the difference between for all and on all. Because the conciliation is... Well, in this case, it's for, yes, I'll stick with that. I can still stick with that. It's for them. Yes, it's for them because it comes from God and it applies. It's for them. It's not on them yet because they don't realize it. That's why our heralding of it, when it's believed, when our heralding is believed that God's at peace with you. Now, shut up. No, I'll shut up. God's at peace with you. I go away. God's at peace with you. What do we have to do, Martin? Nothing. God is at peace with you now. Their reception of it brings it upon them. Christianity doesn't do this, as I've said many times. They challenge people to believe or be lost for eternity. According to Christianity, everyone's default setting is sinner, sinner. You're a sinner going to hell. That's what they point at you and say. I point at you and say, God is conciliated to you. God is at peace with you. God is not reckoning your offenses to you. Is this true? God is not now reckoning their offenses to them? Yes, it is true. This is called the conciliation, and it applies to everyone in the whole world. And the thing I'm going to have to get to on Monday is then why the tribulation? Why the wrath of God coming? Why? Why? If God is conciliated to everyone now? Because, again, this is his most, actually, not his most preferred avenue, but this is his standard avenue, judgment. Putting your nose in it. Smell it. Smell it. That is how he usually does it. The fact that he's giving us faith, that's the exception, the beautiful exception. Let me finish this passage. I thought I was going to be able to get to an important passage that's going to explain why. Why the tribulation if God is at peace with the world now? Why days of wrath? In fact, 3.5 years of serious wrath if God has justified the entire human race. I'm going to answer that question with a specific verse of scripture. Thought I was going to do it today. I'm not. I'm going to do it on Monday. Paul says, for Christ, then, we are ambassadors, as of God entreating through us. We are beseeching, for Christ's sake, be conciliated to God. But the imploring another one to be conciliated to God does not affect God's conciliation to them. They're not conciliated to God because they think God is some crazy monster. Thank you, Christian religion, for giving the world that opinion. God is not a crazy monster. People would know that if this truth were shouted from the rooftops. We're doing our best. I'm doing my best to tell people. God is at peace with you. God is not counting your sins against you. Again, contrast that with the Christian message. Here it is again. Martin Sender. God is not reckoning his sins to you. He's at peace with you. Christian religion. God is not at peace with you. You are guilty as you stand before me. And the only way you can deliver yourself out of your default setting, which is a one-way trip to hell, is to come to our church. Oh, yes, come to our church. We have wonderful music. We have a beautiful new sanctuary. Yes, we have a new rock band. And we have special lighting now. And we have surround sound. And we will have an altar call, of course, on Wednesdays. And if you want to be baptized, we have a baptismal. And we'll dunk you in the water. And this will purify you. This is sick. Sick. It's a denial of what we're reading here. Verse 21, the last verse, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. For the one not knowing sin, he makes to be a sin offering for our sakes, that we may be becoming God's righteousness in him. On Monday, I will explain to you what the judgments of God when they come to the earth will do. I will say that the standard operating procedure of God is judgment, always purposeful, always bringing people to a realization, but it's hand behind the neck, smell it. We are intimates of God. We are brought to him by gentler, kinder means, and it delights God to make an exception to the judgment and to bring intimates into his confidence and to whisper into their ears secrets that have been hidden from the disruption of the world and from the eons, hidden in God, that now, through Christ and through our apostle Paul, are being made known to us.